When you come in, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you can just sit down. How are you doing this morning? The people can go ahead and make their opening statement.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Your Honor, Defense Counsel. In the 1990s in Bronx County, in Albany County, or anywhere else, a human being should have been able to stand in the vestibule of his own home and not be shot to death, especially when those doing the shooting are police officers sworn to protect innocent people. When these four defendants, Kenneth Boss, Sean Carroll, Edward McMillan, and Richard Murphy, killed Anthony Stark in a hail of 41 bullets in the early morning hours of February 4th, 1999, at his home at 1157 Wheeler Avenue in the Bronx, Tony, he was also called Tony, was just 22 years old. He was 5 feet 6 inches tall, and he weighed 150 pounds. Physically, he was not an imposing man. And he lived a very simple life. Tony lived with two roommates in apartment 1R on the first floor of a two-story building at 1157 Wheeler. He worked 10 to 12 hour days, 6 days a week, sold videotapes and things like that from a table directly in front of a convenience store in Lower Manhattan. He had the consent of the owner to do that. On February 3rd, 1999, at about 10:30 p.m., just hours before he was killed, Tony left the store. He took the subway, and he arrived in the Bronx shortly before midnight. Shortly after that, he arrived at his apartment, where he spoke with his roommate, one of his roommates, about their utility bill. Less than an hour later, Tony Stark would be dead. Less than an hour later, he would be standing in the cold, clear night air in the vestibule of his home, unarmed, minding his own business, and doing nothing wrong. These four defendants, Boss, Carroll, McMillan, and Murphy, in plain clothes and driving an unmarked car, would pull up outside of his building. They would get out of the car. They would not call out any commands like, "Stop! Police!" or "Don't move!" They would then fire a total of 41 shots at Tony Stark, and Tony Stark would die. Now, we do not believe that these four defendants woke up that morning or came on duty that night with the intent to kill Tony Stark or anybody else. We don't say it. We don't believe it. But when they got out of the car, we will prove when they got out of the car in front of Tony Stark's home in the early morning of February 4th, they made the conscious decision to shoot him. They made the conscious decision to shoot a man standing in a confined space of a vestibule that was not much bigger than an elevator. They made the conscious decision to shoot into the vestibule of an occupied apartment building where people lived in the early morning hours, when most of them would be home. Let me just give you the sense of how this shooting took place. The evidence will show that on Wheeler Avenue at that time, Richard Murphy pulled the trigger of his 9mm pistol 4 times. Kenneth Boss pulled the trigger of his 9mm pistol 5 times. Sean Carroll and Edward McMillan pulled the triggers of their 9mm pistols 16 times each. The shots were fired at a very close range from in front of the vestibule. And let us be absolutely clear, each shot required a separate pull of the trigger. One bullet went through Tony Stark's chest, his aorta, his left lung, his spine, and his spinal cord. Another bullet went through his spleen, his left kidney, and his intestines. Three more bullets went through his left hip, causing perforations of his pelvis and his intestines. Another bullet went through the left side of his back, his spine, his spinal cord, his liver, and his right lung. Another bullet broke the bone in his right arm above the elbow. Another bullet fractured both bones in his left shin. Another bullet went through his left thigh, exited his groin, and grazed the scrotum. Another bullet went into his right leg, traveled upward and lodged behind his knee. 9 more bullets struck him from the torso to toe. 41 bullets were fired by these 4 defendants. 19 bullets struck Tony Stark. A number struck him while he was falling down or actually on the ground. We will prove by the number of shots fired at this very close range that this man, who was cornered and killed in the vestibule of his home, that these 4 defendants intended to kill him and therefore did kill him. We will also prove by the number of shots fired at this man at very close range into the vestibule of an occupied dwelling that these 4 defendants acted recklessly and with depraved indifference to Tony Stark's life and the lives of the people who lived there. For that, they are guilty of murder and reckless endangerment. Now, during jury selection, you heard some talk about justification. When all of the evidence is in, it will be clear to all of you, beyond a reasonable doubt, that these defendants were not justified in firing all those shots that penetrated an occupied dwelling, let alone in killing Tony Stark, who was armed with nothing more than his wallet, his beeper, and his keys. At the end of the case, we will ask you to return a verdict based on the evidence. We ask you to find these defendants guilty of their intentional, depraved, reckless, unreasonable, and unnecessary conduct that jeopardized the lives of Tony Stark's neighbors and destroyed Tony Stark's life.